Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. So we pray that that light will enter in our hearts today. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding from above. In Jesus' name, amen. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. So we have been doing the Seven Pillars of Wisdom series. And I'm going to pick it up today. You know, I'm going to go slowly, but at the same time, quickly, because I want to cover a lot of ground. So the first two times, we did the fear of the Lord, and then we did prudence. Today, I'm going to be covering knowledge, but I didn't quite finish prudence last time. So I am going to do a little bit of that. But today's main title is on knowledge. Okay? But, you know, I don't have time to do a lot of review today. I'm not going to do a lot of review on what the last two pillars were. If you want to know more about that, go on the website. Check it out yourself. It's all there. So, but today, I'm just going to go right to it. But I will go back and do a little bit more on prudence because I didn't cover all of prudence that I wanted to last time because of time. You know, so as we said when we began the series, first we did the attributes of divine wisdom. The reason for that preceded this lesson on seven pillars was because we didn't want you to think that we're just talking about human wisdom. So that's why first I did the seven attributes of divine wisdom. We covered that first. So it's divine wisdom, you know. So that wisdom is first peaceable, you know, and it is easy to be entreated. You know, and it is full of good fruits without hypocrisy, without partiality, all of that. You know, so now back to the pillars. We've covered the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's number one pillar. Number two pillar was prudence. So today last time I covered quite a few things on prudence, but the part that I want to cover today is going to be two aspects before I move on quickly to knowledge. The capacity to manage your time. Remember, we talked about prudence as various things, you know, and I don't have time to go into that today. But the capacity to manage your time, I didn't talk about that today. I'm talking about time and health. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. You're so awesome. So awesome. So awesome. So awesome. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, before we get right into it, I hope this thing is not too loud. First, I want to acknowledge... Is it Jaden and Aliyah? How do you say your name? Aliyah. Come on up here. Let me acknowledge you. Praise God. Give them a round of applause. Vincent. God bless you. Let me just shake your hand. God bless you. And you're visiting us for the first time today. All right. Well, we're glad to have you. Please sit back and enjoy the service. One more round of applause for them. Praise God. All right. Okay, so I'm going to get right into it. I want you to raise your heads, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. That's an awesome thing. Be warm over here. I don't know what's going on. Give me a minute. They didn't turn on any of these things here. Just praise the Lord in your heart for a minute. I got to turn these things on. I don't know why it's so hot up here. All these lights and everything. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you. We give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The entrance of your word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. So we pray that that light will enter in our hearts today. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding from above. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. So, we have been doing the Seven Pillars of Wisdom series. And I'm going to pick it up today. You know, I'm going to go slowly, but at the same time, quickly, because I want to cover a lot of ground. So, the first two times, we did the fear of the Lord, and then we did prudence. Today, I'm going to be covering knowledge, but I didn't quite finish prudence last time. So, I am going to do a little bit of that. But today's main title is on knowledge. Okay? But, you know, I don't have time to do a lot of review today. I'm not going to do a lot of review on what the last two pillars were. If you want to know more about that, go on the website, check it out yourself. It's all there. So, but today, I'm just going to go right to it. But I will go back and do a little bit more on prudence, because I didn't cover all of prudence that I wanted to last time because of time. You know, so as we said when we began the series, first we did the attributes of divine wisdom. The reason for that preceded this lesson on seven pillars was because we didn't want you to think that we're just talking about human wisdom. So that's why first I did the seven attributes of divine wisdom. We covered that first. So it's divine wisdom. You know, so that wisdom is first peaceable, you know, and it is easy to be entreated, you know, and it is full of good fruits without hypocrisy, without partiality, all of that, you know. So now, back to the pillars. We've covered the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's number one pillar. Number two pillar was prudence. So today, last time I covered quite a few things on prudence, but the part that I want to cover today is going to be two aspects before I move on quickly to knowledge. The capacity to manage your time. Remember, we talked about prudence as various things, you know, and I don't have time to go into that today. But the capacity to manage your time, I didn't talk about that today. I'm talking about time and health. Your time and your health. So to manage, the capacity to manage your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, you know, we are told that we should use our time wisely. They're going to have to put those scriptures up for me quickly. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. You have to use your time quickly. Wisely. It says, you know, walk circumspectly. That's prudently. You know, not as fools, but as wise. And why should we do that? Let's go through the next verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, I want to talk quickly about managing your time. The capacity to manage your time is also an attribute of prudence. So, as I've been covering these pillars, I have been revealing and describing the attributes of each pillar. But these pillars themselves, they are what contribute the strength of wisdom. And without these pillars, the house that wisdom would have built would have had cracks in it, because wisdom built her house. You know our theme scripture. How many people remember our theme scripture? Where did we start when we talk about these pillars? Because we're trying to do this like a teaching class rather than preaching. Pillars? Anybody? Well, so the James, that was the attributes. But the pillars in Proverbs chapter 8, right? First we talk about Proverbs chapter 9. You know, where we talk about wisdom has built her seven pillars, hewn the, you know, I mean, built her house and hewn the pillars. You know, so we went over to Proverbs chapter 8 from between verses 12 and 14. We crafted those pillars out of there. If you can put those up real quickly, say, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge. So we see prudence and we see knowledge there, you know, and then we see the fear of the Lord and we see some of these other things. Okay, so that gives you a background in case you are new. Now, you must manage your time properly. You know, now let me talk about, especially young people, listen to me today, you know, and everybody else actually, but you need to invest in your time in things that make sense for tomorrow. Don't be wasting your time on things that don't make any sense at all. You know, I said last time that, you know, great leaders of tomorrow, you know, they are studying today. The ones who are going to be poor, they're just watching TV and playing games. You know, so, but you need to invest your time wisely in the things that actually move forward your dreams. And somebody say amen. Now, if you do not invest your time wisely, then the time is going to go away from you. Now, time, once it's passed, you can't reclaim it. It's gone. And then you look back, you find out that 6 years have gone. I lost my sound for a second here. Check that sound, make sure we're not cutting in and out. 6 years have passed, 7 years have passed, and then you say, oh, wow. And the thing that you should have done 6 or 7 years ago, you still haven't done because you were not managing your time properly. So the ability, one of the attributes of prudence is the ability for you to walk circumspectly and redeem the time. That means manage the time. Spend your time in things that matter. Praise the Lord. Okay. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the ability to manage your health. Managing your health. Most people do a very poor job in this area. You know, so managing your health. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, and I'm going to give you scriptures for all these things. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, you know, whatsoever you do, see, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. I mean, that's strange. How can you eat and drink to the glory of God? Let's ask that question right now. Now, if you are putting toxins in your body, you are not eating to the glory of God. Because the Bible says that whosoever defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. So if you know that this thing is not good, medical science says it's not good, everybody knows it's not good, but that's the only thing that's attractive to you, then you are not doing it to the glory of God. Amen. Amen, somebody. Well, we have to tell it the way it is. Now, according to, I looked this up because I'm not a medical person. I'm not a nutritionist and all that. So I had to look it up. Some of the other stuff, you know, I got it by seeking the Lord and so forth and reading the scriptures. But this one I had to look up because I'm not a medical person. According to the National Institutes of Health, there are many dietary factors that can have disease risks. Risk of disease can be associated to dietary factors sometimes. This is according to the National Institutes of Health. I looked it up. And they said, I'm going to just talk about quickly three things here. They said, if you eat too much, you can become overweight, you can become obese, and you can be at risk for many heart diseases. Now, that's from National Institutes of Health. Then they go on to talk about sugar, salt, or fat. Say, having too much sugar, salt, or fat in your diet can raise your risk for certain diseases. Healthy eating can lower your risk for heart disease, for stroke, for diabetes, and other health conditions. A healthy eating plan emphasizes vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and fat-free or low-fat dairy products. And this is from National Institute of Health. Now, low-fat dairy products, and then also it says, well, these are some things that are good. Poultry, good. Fish, beans, eggs, nuts, and so forth. But you need to limit the anything that has saturated and trans fats. How many people actually look at labels when they buy their produce or things in store? You need to be looking at those labels, okay? You know, because God's not going to go against his health laws. You can't be putting poison into your body, eating wrong, doing all of these things, and then praying that God should be, you know, giving you good health. That doesn't work. You know, your prayer and your way of life need to align with God's word. Amen. So, reduce the trans fats, reduce the sodium, reduce the added sugars, especially as we get older. And even young people. You know, some young people, they just think that, you know, they are invincible, that they can live forever. Well, you know, all of our children, by the grace of God, you will live for a long time. Amen. You will live long and you will prosper and God will be good to you. Amen. You know, however, you have to walk with divine wisdom. You know, there are a lot of young people today that are coming down with even heart disease. It's amazing. And why? Because young people today, they pile on the pizza, they pile on all this other stuff, you know, that some of this stuff even have no food value. And they just eat all this junk, you know, and then you're clogging up your arteries, you're clogging up, you know, things and so forth, and that's not a good thing. So prudence, one of the attributes of prudence, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I got to go on to knowledge, you know, and I can't wait to get into this knowledge. One of the attributes of prudence is for you to have the capacity to manage your health. Hallelujah. Now, last bullet from National Institutes of Health says, the major cardiometabolic diseases, such as heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, those things pose substantial health and economic burdens, not only on you, but also on the society at large. You know, so, you know, take care of what you eat. Praise God. I know the bad stuff tastes good, and the good stuff doesn't taste so good, but that's not true. You can train your taste buds. Amen? Amen. I actually did that many years ago. I used to just, before I ate anything, now this was many years ago, so don't quote me that I'm still doing it. Before I ate anything, I would put salt in it. I haven't even tasted it. I would put salt in it because I'm like, no, I gotta have more salt. How do you know you gotta have more salt when you haven't even tasted it? Well, after a while, you know, my wife and I agreed, no salt. Hallelujah. Now, the things tasted awful for a bit. But today, when I taste food, I'm saying, there's too much salt. Hallelujah. You know, these things, you know, you train your senses, you train your taste buds and all these things. You got to discipline yourself. Hallelujah. Do it for yourself. Do it for your loved ones. If you get sick, it's not only you that it's going to affect. How many of you know that? You know, when you get sick, your family is going to be running helter-skelter, you know, and so forth. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. To make it not to be your portion, then you have to do your own part. You know, you can't just leave these things up to chance and think that they're going to be like that. No. Okay. So, no point in praying for good health when you are constantly piling toxins in your body. Now, remember, this is the last thing I'm going to say on that. In the book of Luke chapter 21, if you can put that up for me, I'm going to read verse 34, then I'm going to jump to verses 45 and 46. Luke 21, verse 34. In this place, if you don't take care, overeating and surfeiting can even make you to miss the day of the Lord. Right here. Take yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Now people think, well, it doesn't matter, I can eat anything I want. Well, there is a stern warning here that too much eating and drinking and just carrying on and so forth, you know, you can actually miss the day of the Lord. Now, are you going to trade the day of the Lord just for some eating? You know, the Bible says that, you know, Moses, he got away from the pleasures of Egypt for a season, but he chose rather, you know, to align himself with the things of God. The three Hebrew boys, you know, I mean, Daniel and his three friends, four of them actually, they chose to not defile themselves with all those crazy stuff that they were eating in the palace those days. And they turned out better, you know. So let's read verses 45 and 46 really quickly. Then I'm going to move on to knowledge. 45 and 46 of Luke 21. You don't have it? Luke 21, verse 45. Okay. They don't have it. I'm going to have to read it myself. If you have it, it makes things go quicker. If I have to read it myself, then it's going to go slower. But I can certainly read it. Okay, so this is Luke 21 and verse 45. Oh. What did I write down? I must have written something wrong. Okay, let me just read from Luke 21, 34. And then let me read a few verses down. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. What's the next verse? Okay, for a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. So, you know, I might have written down something wrong. But I'm going to go quickly to the pillar of knowledge now. The pillar of knowledge. The pillar of knowledge. Remember, we're talking about the seven pillars. So that's the one I want to focus on today, the pillar of knowledge. That part, that first part was just to finish up the part that I didn't finish with prudence. So to the message today is the pillar of knowledge. Now, knowledge is a pillar of wisdom. That's the number one attribute. It's found in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. You know, we read it already. It says it's a pillar of wisdom. It is the capacity that even leads to witty inventions and discoveries. It's in the same verse. You say, wisdom dwell with prudence and knowledge. You know, I find out knowledge of witty inventions. So knowledge is an incredible capacity. And we're going to be talking more about that. It can be defined as facts and information, awareness and comprehension, familiarity or intelligence, and skills that are acquired by a person through experience or learning. That's a mouthful, you know. So it can be defined as all these things that I mentioned: information, awareness, comprehension, you know, familiarity, intelligence, skills that you can acquire through experience or learning. It is also the capacity to use acquired information. Now, this is very important. Knowledge is the capacity to use acquired information to inspire the mind to create solutions. I don't know if you'll find that in the dictionary, you know, but that's my thing. You know, it's the capacity for you to use the knowledge that you have acquired, right, to inspire your mind to create solutions. Praise the Lord. Now, at the corridors of influence. Now, if you don't have any punchline today, make this one. This thing that I'm going to say now. This sentence that I'm going to say next. At the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. So let me say that again. At the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. And I'm going to prove it to you in these scriptures that we are studying today. You know, why knowledge is so important. Now, let's read Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. It says, through wisdom, a house is builded. And remember, Proverbs 9 says it builds a house. And by understanding, it is established. You know, so there are several things playing here. Wisdom is there, building the house. Understanding is establishing it. But look at what fills the chambers with pleasant riches. It is knowledge. It is by knowledge that the chambers shall be filled with all precious and pleasant things. Can somebody say amen? In other words, if you don't have knowledge, you may be missing out on true riches. Because knowledge is what's going to bring that to you. Now, that knowledge, you know, some of it comes direct from the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Some of it comes from toil, you know, and prudence in learning, you know, so, but it takes knowledge. It takes knowledge to do that. Knowledge is what fills the house with precious things. The same truth was revealed even about God during the creation. Let's find out, you know, what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. It says, the Lord, by wisdom, had founded the earth. And by understanding, he has established the heavens. Now, let's read the next verse. He says, by his knowledge. See? The knowledge of the Lord, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. You know, by God's knowledge, he hid a lot of things in the earth. It takes people years, sometimes centuries, to discover the precious things that God has hidden in the earth through mining and all these things and so forth. You know, but it's by the knowledge of God that he put those things out there. You know, that's how powerful knowledge can be. Even the Lord talks about it. It was his knowledge that hid those treasures. I wrote it down here. The knowledge of God is what hid the treasures in the earth. You know, and it's going to take knowledge to discover it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it takes diligence and dedication to acquire knowledge. And knowledge must be sought. You can't just sit down and think that knowledge is going to come to you. You have to seek knowledge. Now, let's read that in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 5, it says, if thou criest after knowledge, and if you lift up your voice after understanding, then what is going to happen? Verse 4 and verse 5, quickly. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then what? Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So even in the things of God, you have to seek after it. You know, to understand the fear of the Lord, to understand the knowledge of God, you have to seek after it. It's not just going to come to you, you know, just by folding your arms and so forth. The capacity, let's read also Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. I hope you guys are taking the notes, because I'm going through this very quickly. And I did send out a note that people should come and take notes. Bring something prepared to take notes. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. See, the prudent man is always looking for knowledge. You know, the ear of the wise is seeking knowledge. You know, so knowledge is a very powerful thing. Wait until you hear the rest of the stuff that's coming here. The capacity to seek out all kinds of knowledge. All kinds of knowledge. You know, let me talk about Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The so-called preacher, here's what he said in verses 13. Let's read Ecclesiastes 1, verse 13. Say, I gave my heart to search out thy wisdom concerning all things that are done under the earth. Now, to some people, it is a sore travail. But, you know, no pain, no gain. You know, you cannot have the kind of knowledge that you need without the persistence to seek after it. Now, what does this really mean? Well, this means, you know, you don't need to be an expert in everything, but you should seek to have knowledge about a little thing about everything. A little thing about everything. Let me digress a little here and even tell you. You know, when you have knowledge, you are confident. If you don't have knowledge, you are not confident. Now, if you are in the midst, you know, if they invite, you know, people have stage fright. Sometimes it's actually because they don't have knowledge. You know, if you have knowledge, you probably won't have stage fright because you are well prepared. You know what you are going to say. Hallelujah. You know, now, let me talk to students. You know, if you are well prepared for an exam, you're going to go to the exam hall very confident. How many of you know that's true? But if you are not well prepared, in fact, you'll be just hoping that somehow that exam will not happen. But the exam is going to happen. And you may not do well if you are not well prepared. You know, knowledge, you know, when you're well prepared for that exam, you know, you have confidence. I know I've been a student. I'm still sort of a student. I learn all the time. In fact, I made, you know, I don't know if it's a resolution or whatever. It's not a New Year resolution. But I made a resolution for myself to learn something new. In fact, one person on my job challenged me one day. He said he learns something new every day. I said, well, I can't do that. But I can learn something new every week. Praise the Lord. Because every day is tough, man. But I do learn something new every week. I challenge myself to learn something new, you know. Now, it could be in the scriptures. It could be in my job. You know, I'm already, you know, you might call me. And I talked to you before about how you develop your talent into skill and to, you know, expertise and become an authority. You know, I'm already an authority in some of my fields. But I still learn. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you don't have to be an expert in everything, but you should have knowledge of everything. Now, when Paul was mentoring Timothy, Timothy was a young man, you know, but he had to deal with, you know, a lot of people. The age groups and everybody that were there, they were not all young people. So here's what Paul had to say to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12, say, look, let no man despise thy youth. Well, that's good. Well, how? What are you going to do to make sure they don't despise your youth? They're going to despise your youth if you don't have knowledge. You know. Now, he said, be thou an example of believers in charity, conversation, and so on, spirit, faith, and purity. Next verse. He says, till I come. This is the secret how you are not going to get people to despise you. Give attendance to reading. Hello? When you read, when you study, nobody is going to be able to despise you. Because you can hold your own. Hallelujah. You'll be able to hold your own. It's the same thing even in the scriptures. You know, there was a man called Apollos. He was a mighty man in the scriptures. I mean, he could hold his own. You know, I mean, there are some preachers that preach and they don't even know the scriptures. What's that all about? When the Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, this same Paul talking to Timothy, he said, look, study to show yourself approved. People quote this thing all the time. You know, and people think that it's only scriptures. Well, yeah, it applies to scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you can put that up. It does apply to scriptures, but it also applies to everyday living. Show yourself, you know, to study is the first thing there. Let me go to 1 Timothy. The Lord just reminded me. Finish reading, you know, 1 Timothy 2:13, and then read verse 15. So let's go back to it. Let's go back to, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. You know, hey, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to be ashamed because you know your stuff, you know. And if you are in the marketplace or anything at all that you are doing, if you don't know your stuff, you know, I tell you what, actually people, there are some people that say, I'm going to go into business. They pick a line of business. They have no clue about it. They have not even done basic business training, business economics. They have not done it. They have not done any of these things. And they just want to do business. Well, you know, they're going to have a hard time. I tell you that right now. You know, the first thing you need to do is go and study. Study the business, study the economics, and study all these things before you even jump out to do anything. You know, that's how knowledge prepares you. Now, there is a stern warning in Hosea. Put for me Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says that, look, when we reject knowledge, it leads to all kinds of problems. You know, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. You know, that is a terrible place to be. We don't want to be like that. Amen. And he says, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Ah. You know, all because they refuse knowledge. No, you don't want to do that. Did you know that God, he wanted to give knowledge to the children of Israel in Exodus 19 and verses 5 and 6. He sent Moses to them, said, go talk to them. Tell them that I want to commune with them directly. And they said, no, we don't want any part of God. We cannot hear God. You go here and come and tell us. And they rejected knowledge. The knowledge of knowing God that God would have given them. And so, you know, we see their end wasn't very good. Now, people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Well, let me divert to the world today. Many, you know, poor countries or less advanced countries, some countries in Africa, many of us are from Nigeria and stuff, you know, many of those countries, lack of knowledge, what's keeping them back, you know, lack of knowledge. People don't have knowledge. And knowledge is not just you read something. No, remember I already described the capacity to take information and use it to inspire your mind, to create solutions. If you think of knowledge that way, you will see that that's the reason why many of these countries are backward. Because they don't have the capacity to take information. Everybody has information, right? Information is on the internet, it's everywhere. You can go to school, you get information and everything. You know, but some people have the capacity to take that information, you know, and use it to inspire their minds to create solutions. And if you don't have that, then the country, if the leaders of the country don't have it, then the country is backwards. This is what is happening in many countries, you know. So Paul's advice to Timothy was to grow your knowledge bank. I want everybody to write that down or take note of it. Grow your knowledge bank. Grow it. You know, don't let it deplete. Add to it and so forth. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Still on the same thing. In fact, this is the verse that clearly explains what I just said. He said, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. See? And their honorable men are famished and the multitudes are dried up. You know, people are impoverished because, you know, they have no knowledge. No knowledge. Now, so, even the people of the world will tell you that, you know, education is a equalizer or game changer, whatever. I don't know how to say it. But look, knowledge is what's behind all of that. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Christ. So even in spiritual things, you know, you have to keep knowing. I mean, as a matter of fact, at the end of Peter's writings, if you jump to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that's the last verse there in 2 Peter, you will see what he says. You know, he says that grow in grace and in the knowledge. So you cannot stop growing. You have to grow in grace and you have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Apply the same thing to everything. Now, let me tell you the story, a famous story in the Bible, which everybody knows, most people at least. The story of Daniel and his companions in the land of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. Daniel chapter 1, let's read verses 3 and 4. Daniel 1, verses 3 and 4. So the king is to recruit some ambassadors, you know. So he tells the recruiter, you know, these are the requirements. The king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, king's seed, they were king's seed, you know, and of the princes, he should bring them. And when he did, verse 4, children, now let's notice, I picked out 7 things here out of this. Children in whom there was no blemish. So they are healthy looking already. You know, they are well favored. Well favored. They were already princes. Cunning in knowledge. Notice that that was one of his requirements. They are cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And such as had the ability to stand in the king's palace. Hallelujah. You know, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 tells us that, look, seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways? He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. You can read about seven things here. You know, no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, the ability to learn, you know, have the ability to learn. So they're going to make these people ambassadors. So they're going to teach them their rules. They're going to teach them their language. They're going to teach them all of these things and so forth. They're going to learn, have the ability to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. They have an aptitude for learning. An aptitude for learning. These are the characteristics and requirements and qualifications, I could say, that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. And how did Daniel, what was it that made Daniel to know that it was time for the Lord to do something, which he started praying about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. You turn with me quickly to Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. The Bible says that in the first year, you know, of the king's reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. He was reading. You know, if he wasn't reading, he wouldn't have had that understanding. I understood by the books that the number of years and so forth that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in the 70 years were about to be accomplished. So it was by reading that he understood it, by reading. Now, you know, I already talked to students about preparation. Preparation in your studies, preparation for your exams, you know, and so forth. In fact, somebody once told me that, you know, when they were well prepared for their exams, they always sat in the front seat. But he told me that, he said, one day he wasn't prepared for the exam, so he sat in the back seat. Why did he sit in the back seat? This was with his own confession. He said, look, I sat in the back seat because I was hoping that maybe I would pinch somebody, you know, to get the answer. Because he wasn't well prepared. You know, but the days when he was well prepared, he came and sat right in front because he was well prepared for the exams. People need to be well prepared. Praise the Lord. You know, people of the world, there are certain people of the world that are sought out. People seek them out. They become authorities, you know, in their fields. We talked about some of this last time. You know, they have taken, such people have taken great diligence. You know, I have some stories, but I don't have time to go into them. Great diligence to study and to acquire knowledge. Now, it doesn't look easy at first, because that's why the preacher in Ecclesiastes 1:13 said, look, it's like a sore travail. But, you know, that's only if you see it that way. You know, if you have a reason for what you are doing, it won't be a sore travail. Now, so Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I'm showing you all the attributes of wisdom here. I mean, knowledge. Habakkuk 2:14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So even in spiritual things, knowledge is so key. And I mentioned this briefly last time. I said, look, the sea of knowledge, you know, because it says as waters cover, knowledge will be like waters cover the sea. So consider that knowledge is like an ocean. And what you have by learning is taking a bucket to the ocean. Every time you learn something new, you took a bucket to the ocean and took something out of it. But that ocean, you don't place a dent in it. It still remains, it's not even depleted. Because the knowledge, I mean, there is no limit to knowledge. You can learn. Now, we're not talking about ever learning and never, because I just picked that up from somebody. Now, we're not talking about ever learning and not coming to knowledge of the truth. We're talking about learning and using that knowledge to inspire your mind to create solutions. Hallelujah. And even in spiritual things, it's the same thing. Don't think that, look, you know, just learning and don't come, you know, don't just take one scripture out of context. I have dozens of scriptures here. You know, you can learn and you can come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, so let's talk more about that. You know, what did You know, what did Daniel say about at the end of the age? In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. He said, knowledge shall increase at the end of the age. The angel told him, Daniel, shut up the words of the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. You know, there's go to hustle. And knowledge shall be increased. You know, it was already prophesied. How many of you know that knowledge has increased today? There's the internet of things. There's any, you know, I mean, everywhere. In fact, today, there's hardly any question that you cannot Google on the web and find some answer. You know, you can go to Wikipedia, you can go to anything. It's just, knowledge is just all over the place. So we need to take advantage of it. And if you are not keeping up with knowledge, you will fall behind. It's kind of like even in your trade, in your line of business, you know, there are actually even some professional lines, you know, like nurses, teachers, and so on and so forth, doctors and so forth. They constantly have them taking these extra credits every time in order to keep up with the trend. I mean, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, you can't just, if you say you're a teacher, my wife used to be a teacher for many, many years. And every so often, they will have to go and take all this training, get some additional credits, learn some new stuff, and so forth. Because you have to keep up with the knowledge. Because knowledge is constantly advancing. And if you don't keep up, you'll be way left behind. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul himself said, look, even in the knowledge, even in the things of God, knowledge is so vital. Here's what Paul said. After all the great things that he has done in his life, he said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, said, that I may know him. Are you saying that you haven't known him? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, you know. Wow. You have to read 8, 9, and 10 to get it all. It's actually in verse 10. But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the knowledge right there. You know, there's knowledge, there's natural knowledge, there's spiritual knowledge, but it's all knowledge, you know. And Ephesians chapter 4, you know, will tell us that, look, all the ministry gifts that God pours out, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, tells you that all the things that God pours out, it is, you know, he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? You know, why do we do it? For the work of the ministry, you know, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what is the goal? Where is the goal? Until we all come in the unity of the faith. The goal is not come to the unity of the faith. People read this wrong, you know, all the time. People read it as if we are coming to the unity of the faith. No, that's not what it says. We are coming in the unity of the faith to and in, you know, the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We need the unity of the faith and we need the knowledge of the Son of God in order to come to the perfect man for the church. You know, so the knowledge, so important right there. You know, now let me throw this out there. John 8:32. Anybody know what John 8:32 says? John 8:32. Somebody is saying it. You shall do what? And then what? Thank you. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, let me say it to you this way. It is the truth that you know that can set you free or make you free. Hallelujah. Very simple in this verse. It doesn't say you will be set free by the truth. No, you have to know the truth in order for the truth to make you free. If you don't know it, the truth is there, but it is for you to know it. Now, if you know the truth, it will make you free. But if you don't know it, it's not going to help you, you know. Now, even Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, talks about how even Jesus, you know, will perfect his knowledge, you know, in order to bear all of the ministry and everything he does. Say, look, the Lord, when he shall see the travail of his soul, this chapter is talking about the future ministry of Christ, he shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, even Christ, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. He understands the mind of God. You know, he understood the mind of God. Even people in his day, they say, wow, this man, how did he know all these things? You know, it was by his knowledge that he even carries out this ministry to bear the iniquities of people and so on. Now, let me read quickly here No, I already talked about, we're not talking about ever learning and not coming to the knowledge of the truth. You must use the knowledge that you're learning to come to something, to inspire your mind, to create solutions. This is what we do, you know, in the business world. People use their knowledge, the knowledge of information they have acquired. Now, if you go to a school that's subpar, you need to get out of that school and go to a real school, you know, that is, you know, top in what you are trying to do and gain real knowledge, you know. You know, I had somebody that was telling me, saying a story of, you know, they were going to school somewhere in Africa and the thing was subpar. And one of their friends told them, look, you need to get out of that school and go to the United Kingdom or someplace like that to learn some real stuff, because what they are teaching you there, you know, is nothing, you know. And then he took the advice, you know, and it was a game changer for him. Now, you know, if you are not, you know, learning and using the knowledge that you are learning to inspire things that you are creating for yourself, then you are falling way behind. Inspire solutions that you can create. You know, today, people talk about, even in technology, we talk about ideation, we talk about various things and so forth. But the people, you know, people that are bringing all these things about, creating new ideas, creating things and so forth, they are using knowledge that they have acquired to inspire solutions, inspire their mind to create solutions. Now, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 also talks about that people that do know their God shall be what? Hello, help me out here. There are people that do know, if you don't know your God, you are not going to be strong because you don't know all the capacity of God, you know. But when you know your God, and this is all about knowledge, you know, I'm bringing all knowledge together today, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, we're bringing it all together. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. This was one of my favorite scriptures when I was a young man growing up. I used to say, man, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do it. And my life back then, by the grace of God, was a life of exploits, you know. But, you know, I took time to know, you know, God. When you know God, you'll be strong and you'll do exploits. Now, let me tell you four additional things to remember today. Four additional things. You may not find this in the Bible. You may not even find it in the dictionary. I don't know. But I'm going to tell it to you right now. Four things that you need, actually, you will find in the Bible. There are some places in the Bible for this. But let me just give it to you. Four things, additional things, apart from all these things that I've said today about knowledge. There are four more things, and I wrote this down, and I'm going to read them to you, that you need to know about knowledge. Number one. Everybody say number one. That's right. It is what you know that others don't know that gives you an advantage over them. Hallelujah. Hello? It is what you know that others don't know that gives you an advantage. It was what the children of Israel, you know, in Babylon, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they had knowledge of science. They were cunning in understanding. They were cunning in science. They were cunning in knowledge. It was what they knew that gave them an advantage. Because when they were doing the pre-screening, even before, you know, before the, you know, what do you call it? You know, what do you call that word? Just escape me now. Audition. Before the auditioning, you know, for anything, there was pre-screening. And the pre-screening criteria were, you know, use these criteria. People that know stuff, the people that know stuff, put them on this side. The people that know less than that stuff, put them on this side. So it was the knowledge of what they knew. I mean, it was the ability of their having knowledge that set them apart. Hallelujah. That gave them an advantage. Now, this is why we go to school, folks. This is why we go to school. I mean, even some people go to school for all kinds of things. And these days, you can find school for anything. You know, anything. I was joking with my wife the other day, and I said, you know, you can actually find a school for learning how to sleep. Hey, people do sleep studies today. Don't they do sleep study? Dr. Precious? So you can actually go to school to learn how to sleep. I mean, there is just anything today. I mean, knowledge is all over the place. But it is the knowledge that you have. You know, if you know how to sleep very well, you know, if you know how to sleep very well, maybe they can bring you into those things and pay you some money, you know. Now, it's going to set you apart. I'm joking about it, but it's true. I'll tell you what. You know, even in my days when I was an athlete, I used to be a track and field athlete many, many moons ago. You know, I had some tough competition. And I was really good. I wasn't just some mediocre athlete. And I don't need to go to that, but people who know, you know. But, you know, when I wanted to become even better, I started to study techniques. You know, I mean, I was already very quick on my feet. You know, I had quick instincts. In fact, you can drop something here now, catch it before it falls to the ground. I still have those instincts today. You know, I had those quick instincts. I already had my feet work. But I had to study techniques of how to be better, to give me an advantage over people who are taller than me. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, I had this height challenge or whatever you call it, you know. But I was faster than those who were much taller. I was running against people who were 6 foot tall, you know. And they were catching my dust. Hallelujah. Because I took time to study techniques. You know, I spent time. I can't go into all of that today, but I spent time to study techniques to get better. And let me tell you what. Contemporary sports today, they are playing the NBA thing right now. NBA finals. You know. After each game, what do? They will study the tapes. Hello? Is that true? They study tapes in their locker room or their hotel room or whatever. Their coach, their sub coaches and everything. They will study those tapes. It's not just the skill. You have the skill, but they are studying to understand and have an advantage over their opponent. Amen. So it is what you know that's going to give. In fact, I watched a movie many years ago that somebody stole the playbook of the other team. You know, and they got an advantage over them because they already knew all of their moves. They studied their playbook. And they had an advantage over them. So it is what you know that gives you an advantage. Hallelujah. In order for you to remain competitive in the marketplace, you need to keep up with what's going on. Even technology. You might even say that, look, my business is not about technology. If you don't know technology today, your business is not going anywhere. How many of you know that's true? That's why they make these children science. No matter what you are going to do, you say, well, I'm just going to be an artist. I'm not. If you need to know the math, and you also, you need to have business economics, you know, to even survive. And you are going to need to learn some math and some of these things. So technology today, if you don't study technology, there are people today that are afraid to use the phone. They say they are old school. Old school what? The train has moved. You need to move with the train. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, don't be backward. You know, there are people today that are still trying to write letter and put stamp and go and mail it. Letter and stamp? Are you kidding me? You know, so, no, let's get away from that stuff. You know, technology has moved. There are some old people today. You go to some old neighborhoods. You still see them sitting in their porch reading newspaper. Newspaper? The world has moved on. You know, before they print the newspaper and bring it out. I remember many years ago, I was a consultant. Many years ago. And I was trying to look for work and so forth. And we didn't have all the internet there. This was probably in the early 90s. You know, we had some, but it wasn't as advanced. So my wife will remember this. You know, in order for me to even look for work out of state, you know, and so forth, when I couldn't find work here, I would go down to the Central Library. You know Central Library in Phoenix? How many of you know the Central Library in Phoenix? That was at Mount Dial and something. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't been there in many years. You know. But they used to have a section with newspapers. Newspapers. Newspapers from other states and everything. So I would go there. And by the time I'm reading this thing,
This thing is old.
I'm reading newspaper of last week. By the time I called them about the job is already gone. The only source I had was that newspaper. Come on, folks. There's the internet today. And we can use the internet gospel. Hallelujah. And we are using the internet gospel. Hallelujah. We got to use the tools for it. You know, if Jesus had internet in his day, he would have used it. He used whatever he had. He told Peter, get me one of those ships. That's all they had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus had a ship. You know, so if there was internet, then they would have used it. So we have it now. Use it for your advantage. And let's use it for the gospel. Amen. Knowledge is what gives you a platform. Now, that I said number one before. Number two is that you need knowledge in order to remain competitive in the marketplace. I said four things. Number one was it is what you know that gives you an advantage over those who don't know the same thing that you know. Hallelujah. You know. Now, the knowledge to remain competitive in the marketplace is number two. For you to be able to do that today, you need to get a hold of even some basic technology, no matter what business you are in. You know. Number three, knowledge is what gives you a platform for influence. That's right. Influence. Today, if you have, you know, world leaders and so forth, and if they're looking for somebody to tell them something about something, they're not going to look for somebody who has no knowledge. Hello? They're going to look for somebody who has some knowledge, you know, who has some reputable knowledge. You know, I mean, maybe they do this. And then when you go out to, you know, give speeches and so forth, people say, wow, this person has a knowledge. They bring them back. Some people are making, you know, they're making money just on giving speeches all over the place, you know, just because of their knowledge. Even some ex-presidents, that's what they do these days. They just give speeches all over the place. You know, continue to make, you know, they speak for 1 hour and they make $250,000. You know, I'm like, wow, I'm in the wrong business. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number four, powerful and great leaders of tomorrow. I said this before. Powerful and great leaders of tomorrow, what are they doing today? They are always learning and reading today. Those who are going to wallow in poverty and be backward, they are playing games. Now, you young folks, listen to me. Anybody listen to this later on the replays and so on? You know, study today. Pay attention. Give attention to reading. Give attention to studying. To know your stuff. Hallelujah. Don't let, you know, time pass you by. Finally, let me wrap it up with the benefits of wisdom. Some of them are in the things I've already spoken. Remember, the way I said I would do this series is, you know, I will give some general description. I will give some dictionary definitions. I will give some of my own definitions inside which the Lord gave me. And I will give, you know, scriptures and all kinds of scriptures to back up all of these things. But then finally, I will talk about some benefits. Then I will make a prayer on that pillar. Hallelujah. So I'm coming to an end here. So let me go through some of the benefits quickly. I'm just going to go through this very quickly because I already talked about them. So, knowledge will cause your house to be filled with precious things. Proverbs 24, verses 2 to 3. That's one. Two, knowledge about many things is essential to your success in life. Just have a little knowledge. Ecclesiastes 1 and 13. You don't need to be an expert in everything. You can be an expert in one thing, but you have some knowledge in everything. You know, nobody can just bamboozle you, you know, because you know a little bit about something, you know. And then you find out that you can actually be, you can engage in conversations when you know stuff. If you don't know stuff, you'll be timid, you'll be shy, you can't even engage in conversations. Okay, now, knowledge can elevate you to great heights. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22 and 29. You know, knowledge gives you influence. It was the ability for knowledge in Daniel and his friends that gave them influence before the king. And it set them apart. Knowledge will give you influence. And it brings power and also brings promotion. We saw it in the life of Daniel and his friends. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Knowledge gives you an advantage or strength. You know, let's read Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. Let's read that quickly. Because I told you that some of these things, there may or may not be scriptures to back them up, but there is a scripture. Proverbs 24, verse 5. Can you put that up for me? You know, he says, let me see how what he says. Proverbs 24, verse 5. Do you have that? Anybody back there? Okay, well, I'm going to have to read it myself then. Right. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. You know, so what does that mean? Strength here is advantage. That's what it is. I derive some of those things that I coined. I derive them from some various verses. You know, so, you know, what you know is what gives you an advantage. You know, a wise man or a wise person or a wise woman can even take a city. You know, we see that in the scriptures. You know, so knowledge gives you strength. And actually, all of the seven pillars of wisdom is what gives wisdom the strength to hold up the house. Hallelujah. Now, wisdom and stability. So that Proverbs 24 verse 5 is the one that I talk about advantage through knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge bring stability and even strength of salvation. Wow. Is there a scripture for that? Absolutely. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33, verse 6. If you can put that up for me quickly. We are coming to an end here in just a few minutes. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Are we in the end times? You need wisdom, folks. And you need knowledge in these times. You know, and it will even be the strength of salvation. And it will be the fear, you know, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, that's how powerful knowledge can be. Praise God. Now, this is not vain knowledge. We already covered that before. It's not vain knowledge. This is knowledge that the Holy Spirit inspires because you are doing due diligence. Now, the knowledge of God brings strength for exploits. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. But I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Quickly, Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15. And just read through until I say you can stop. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. Next verse, just keep going. Cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. This is how powerful it is. That the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, should give you knowledge. You know, so you can read it up to verse 23, but I will stop there. You know, that thing is just loaded about knowledge. You know, now, the scriptures, the knowledge of the scriptures will actually also help you, you know, help you to know the things that are freely given to you by God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. If you don't know the scriptures and you don't know them correctly or the word of God, the devil can pull a wool over you. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, the spirit which is of God, that we might know, underline that know, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So this is what knowledge does for us. Now, let me wrap this up with a prayer point. The prayer today is going to be that God will give us the diligence to pursue knowledge. Amen? That's right. Remember, the glory of the Lord, the revelation of his glory shall be like the waters covered the sea. So knowledge is like an ocean. It's like a sea. You can never know it all. There are some people that think they know it all today. And what does the scripture say? If any man thinks he knows not yet what he ought to know. That's right. If you think you know, you don't know anything yet as you ought to know. So just come. Even in spiritual things, don't be high-minded. Just come and sit at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sit at the feet of Jesus. As a lot of people today jumping up to preach and so forth like that, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. you know, come and sit at the knowledge of Jesus. You know, this is what Jesus did for 3.5 years or so with the disciples. He just began to teach them. Read in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1. He said, the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Can you put that scripture up? Chapter 1, verse 1. The things he was not only doing, you know, the things that Jesus began to do, to teach, all those years, you know, why didn't he just jump out one day and finish everything? He was taking time to teach the disciples. And when he was going to leave, he gave us the same mandate. You know, Matthew 28, 19 and so forth. You know, go into all the world and teach. You got to teach. Teaching requires two aspects, or has two aspects. Somebody is teaching and somebody is learning. But the instrument there is knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge is what is being transferred. When you're talking about teaching, it's about knowledge. That's what is being transferred. You know, now, if I'm not a good teacher in these lessons, then you guys won't learn anything. So, next time I'm going to ask you some questions. Then we'll see whether it is the bad teacher or the bad students or both. You know, but you see, knowledge is what is being transferred, communicated when we are doing teaching. That's what knowledge is. So the prayer we are going to pray today, you know, the prayer that we are going to pray today is going to be, Lord, you know, give me this pillar of wisdom. This pillar of wisdom that's called knowledge in my life. So give me a heart that will want to seek after knowledge. Knowledge in my life of things that can help me, and knowledge in the things of God that will help to fill my heart and my life with treasures. You know, remember, knowledge is what fills the house, you know, and so on and so forth. And give me the grace to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all over the scriptures. Paul was always praying for them in Ephesians 1, in Ephesians 3, always praying for them that they should grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last thing before we pray, you know, sometimes there are some knowledge, sometimes also I acknowledge that is corrupt. You know, especially in spiritual things. There are some belief systems that we have. In fact, I was teaching a class earlier this morning on Clubhouse and talking about our belief systems. Belief system. Some people, some belief systems, you know, have corrupted their minds. And when true knowledge comes, people are hindered by their belief system. So I will share this with you, and then we're going to pray. Jesus, when he was talking to Martha in John chapter 11 at the grave of Lazarus. How many of you know that story? Grave of Lazarus, Jesus talking to Martha. Jesus comes there. This is how some belief system can actually hinder what God, the knowledge of what God is actually trying to communicate. Jesus was trying to communicate something to Martha. But her belief system was making her think something else. You know, her belief system, Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. And in her mind, her belief system says, yes, my brother will rise in the resurrection. Hello? And Jesus said, come back now. Bring it right back. I'm right here. We're not talking about the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm right here, right now. Believers have this. And she said, she runs on again. You have to read the story. She runs on again in her belief system. She said, well, I know you are the Christ that is to come. And all this thing. Her belief system was preventing her from actually seeing what Jesus was communicating. Now, so even in the things of God, you know, certain things sometimes you have to disengage from in order to get the true knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God had to take Moses to the backside of the desert for 40 years to unlearn some things and so forth and get the right knowledge in his heart. So I want you to stand to your feet. I just wanted to throw that there. That while we are talking of knowledge, we do understand that some knowledge can be corrupted, you know. You say, who is this that, you know, that that darkens knowledge, you know, and so forth by their misunderstanding. Knowledge can be corrupted by misunderstanding. But it is important for us to have true knowledge in order for God and us to communicate. That is the language. Knowledge is the language of the teacher and the student. It's knowledge. That's what they are communicating, knowledge. You know, so either the teacher is not communicating well or the student is not receiving it well. But when if they both come into alignment, then there is an exchange of knowledge. So I want you to raise your hands and we're going to pray. Let me read this prayer to you. The prayer is this. This knowledge, pillar of wisdom, this pillar of wisdom that is knowledge, give me more in my life. And give me the grace to set my heart to seek out knowledge where it applies to my life and also in the things of God. Give me the grace to understand how to use knowledge to inspire my mind to create solutions. Now that is so important. You know, I wish I had one more hour to dwell just on that, but no, not today. The knowledge to take information, you know, those people who have been bright in the history of the world, that's what they did. They took the same information that everybody else has, but that knowledge in their heart inspired something to create solutions. The solutions that we are enjoying today, it comes from that. Praise the Lord. So I want you to pray that prayer for yourself. Go ahead. Pray for yourself. Pray that God will give you wisdom. I mean, this knowledge, that's a pillar of wisdom. Pray that the Lord will give you the grace to set your heart to seek out knowledge, so that your life may be filled with treasures and precious things. Pray that the Lord will give you grace to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in His grace. Father, we thank you. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Now, let's do corporate prayer. I'm going to just pray in the next 1 or 2 minutes, and then we will close this section of the service. Let's lift our hands up and ask the Lord to help us. Every time you lift your hands up, it's kind of you're saying, Lord, carry me. Carry me, Lord. Your little child, when they want to be carried, they come to the parent, they raise their hands. Carry me, Lord. Lord, just carry me. Hallelujah. Lord, carry us, even here today. Oh, the Lord said, call unto me. Call unto me, he said to Jeremiah, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Say the Lord, I will show you great and mighty things which you have not known. And if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows not yet how he ought to know. Father, give us the grace to seek out knowledge of the truth, because it is what we know that will set us free. Give us the grace, Lord, to seek out knowledge of the things that can advance our lives, to fill our hearts and fill our lives with treasures and precious things. And don't get religious on me and say, well, those things don't matter. Well, those things matter. That's why God is teaching them to us. The knowledge that you have will be an advantage for you in many situations. Lord, give us this knowledge. Help us, Lord, not to be like the people that are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I pray that the knowledge that we are getting today from these lessons will inspire our hearts for creative solutions. That's right. I'm going to leave you one verse in Job chapter 32 and verse 8. One of my favorite all-time verses to round up this thing about knowledge, that even God has a part to play in it. Even of all these things that I have said and all these things, you know, and when I come to understanding, I'm going to be talking about this. There is a spirit in man. There's something inside of you that can inspire and create solutions. There's something inside of you that can also inspire and get the true knowledge of God. Everybody reads the scriptures. But somebody will get it and somebody doesn't get it. It's in plain view. You know, there is a spirit in man, but the inspiration of the Almighty is what gives them understanding. Hallelujah. May the Lord give inspiration to your heart in the name of Jesus. This scripture has bailed me out of tight situations many, many times. And I pray that it will bail you out as well. That the Lord will put inspiration in your heart. Even when you are sleeping, the Bible says, while men sleep, the Lord seals the knowledge in their hearts. You know, this is the inspiration of the Almighty. I have solved many technical problems like that. You know, by the inspiration of the Almighty, it will just come from nowhere. Hallelujah. And I have a solution. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise here in the house today. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise in the house here today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise team, you may come on up. Hallelujah.